Well, at this time, we are going to do a teaching that's associated with the fall festivals. Since we are in the fall festival season, we've started the season of Teshuvah. And the season of Teshuvah culminates with Yom Kippur. So, in preparing our hearts, we are going to look at some of the themes of Yom Kippur. And those themes involve the following. Yom Kippur is Hebrew for the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur is associated with face to face. And what's our psalm reading in Psalm 27? When you said, Lord, seek my face, I said, your face, Lord, will I seek. And so face to face then is Yom Kippur. It's known as the day or the great day. It's known as the fast because you fast on Yom Kippur. It's known as the great shofar because the great shofar is blown on Yom Kippur. It's known as Nilah, the closing of the season of Teshuvah. Let's see how Yom Kippur is known as the Day of Atonement. The Hebrew word for atonement, Kippur, is the Strong's number 3725. And it comes from the Hebrew root word kafar, the Strong's number 3722, which means to cover, to purge, to make atonement, make reconciliation, forgive, appease, pacify, or to pardon. Yom Kippur is the designated day in the Bible for the God of Israel to forgive the nation of Israel for their sins. The Midrash Seder Olam Haba 6 gives the chronology of the period between receiving the Torah at Mount Sinai and the following 10th day of Tishrei. On the 6th day of Sivan, the Ten Commandments were given. On the 7th day of Sivan, Moses ascended the mountain, and he remained there for 40 days and 40 nights. On the 40th day, which would be the 17th of Tammuz, he descended where he found the nation of Israel sinning with the golden calf, and he broke the tablets containing the Ten Commandments. Moses then ascended the mountain the second time on the 18th of Tammuz to seek compassion from the God of Israel for the sin of the golden calf. Moses remained on the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights. After that time, Moses descended on the 28th of Av and hewn a second set of tablets. On the 29th of Av, Moses ascended Mount Sinai a third time. And we have here in our presentation a pictorial of what we just went over. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 10, we see how Yom Kippur is associated with the forgiveness for the sin of the golden calf, where it is written, "And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights." This would be the 7th of Sivan to the 17th of Tammuz. "And Yahweh hearkened unto me at that time also, and Yahweh would not destroy you." Moses descended from Mount Sinai the third time on the 10th of Tishrei, which would become Yom Kippur. Therefore, this day was established as a decree and a remembrance for all generations. Leviticus, Vayikra, chapter 16, verse 34, it is written, "And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all those sins once a year." And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Yom Kippur is associated with afflicting the soul, as the commandment is given in Leviticus 23, verse 27. Traditional Orthodox Jewish interpretation, custom and application of what it means to afflict your soul is to refrain from all bodily pleasures. And the rabbis interpret five major Yom Kippur afflictions: abstaining from eating, drinking, that's fasting, washing and anointing the body, wearing leather shoes, and marital relations. On Yom Kippur, it's a tradition that you wear white garments. It's an Orthodox Jewish custom of wearing white clothing on Yom Kippur, which is meant to emulate the ministering angels. Some people wear a kittel, which is a white robe worn over the clothing. It is an Orthodox Jewish custom that the kittel should not be decorated with gold, because gold recalls the sin of the golden calf, and Yom Kippur is a day of divine forgiveness from the God of Israel. Angels wear white garments. The ministering angels of the God of Israel wear white clothing. During the events of the resurrection of Yeshua, Matthew 28, verses 2 and 3, it is written, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of Yahweh descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow." White garments are symbolic of forgiveness of sin. Leviticus 13, verse 17, it is written, And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that has the plague. He is clean. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8, "Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no anointment." Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come, and let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." White garments represent purity and righteous deeds. White garments are symbolic of purity and righteous deeds. The bride of Messiah is an overcomer whose sins are forgiven, is pure in heart, and has righteous deeds. Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. "You have a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." White garments represent purity and righteous deeds. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Leviticus chapter 16 describes the high priest ceremony of Yom Kippur. In verse 30 it says, "On that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh." Yeshua is our high priest. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Messiah Yeshua." Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed in the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Yeshua is the one that makes intercession for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. "Who is he that condemns? It is Messiah that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and he makes intercession for us." One of the Hebrew words for repentance is teshuvah. Teshuvah comes from the Hebrew word shuv, which means to return, turn back, restore, refresh, or to repair. The rabbis teach that the God of Israel created the concept of repentance before he created the universe, and the Talmud in Nedarim 39b, because the God of Israel would not create the world knowing that man would sin without giving man an opportunity to repent from his sin. In the Mishneh Torah by Moses Maimonides, in Hilchot Teshuvah 1:1, he writes that should a person transgress any commandment of the Torah, whether positive or negative, intentionally or inadvertently, and he desires to repent from his sin, he should make a verbal confession of that sin. Yom Kippur is associated with confessing our sins. Numbers chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men do commit to trespass against Yahweh, and that person is guilty, then they will confess their sin which they have done, and shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it a fifth part, and give it unto him against whom he has trespassed. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Yahweh, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, if we say we don't sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we confess our sins? There cannot truly be total repentance without confession of our sin. When King David sinned with Bathsheba, Nathan rebuked him. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. After Nathan's rebuke of King David, David replied with these words in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. Before David confessed that he had sinned against the God of Israel, there's a blank space in the Hebrew text. The Vilna Gaon explains the significance of the blank space before David's response. There was a silence after Nathan's stirred words. David was engaged in an inner struggle. He could have justified his deed or admit that the prophet was right. Finally, David made his decision, and he said, I have sinned. David's response remains a prototype of confession and repentance. David's lengthy confession and prayer to the God of Israel is recorded in Psalm 51. Repentance must have serious thought, frank admission, verbal expression of how we have sinned, and how we hope to improve in the future. This comes from the Art Scroll prayer book on Yom Kippur. So let's look at Psalm 51. It begins, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted unto you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. You delight not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure unto Zion. Build you the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall you be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon your altar. The Torah says that we must confess our sins in the sins of our forefathers. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 38 and 39. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity, in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers, they shall pine away with them. And if you will confess your iniquity, and the iniquity of your fathers, with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Nehemiah confessed his sins and the sins of his forefathers. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech you, O Yahweh Elohim of heaven, the great and awesome Elohim that keeps covenant and mercy to them that love him and observe his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. Daniel confessed his sins and the sins of his forefathers, beginning in Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yahweh my Elohim, and I made confession. I said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, we've committed iniquity, we've done wickedly, we've rebelled even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. O Yahweh, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we've sinned against you. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your Torah, even by departing, that they may not obey your voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the Torah of Moses, the servant of God, because we've sinned against him. And now, O Yahweh, our Elohim, that have brought your people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have gotten you renown, as of this day, we sinned, we've done wickedly. O Yahweh, hear. O Yahweh, forgive. O Yahweh, hearken and do. Defer not for your own sake, O my God, for your city and for your people are called by your name. Jeroboam built a golden calf system of worship. He didn't obey the Torah of the God of Israel. Jeremiah set up a substitute place of worship, a substitute priesthood, and substitute holidays. And as a part of confessing our sins and the sins of our fathers, we need to confess the sins of Jeroboam. And in doing this, we ultimately return to the Hebrew roots of our faith and to the Torah of the God of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and he went out from there and he built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go to do the sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king took counsel, and he made 2 calves of gold, and he said, It's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and he made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. We need to confess the sins of worshiping the goddess of sex and fertility, which is named Easter Ashtaroth. Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and they served Baalim. And they forsook Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. They followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bowed themselves unto them, and provoked Yahweh to anger. And they forsook Yahweh, and they served Baal and Ashtaroth. The children of Israel set up Asherah trees. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Hear the word which Yahweh speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, Learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. Jeroboam feared the God of Israel, but not by keeping his Torah and his commandments. 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 32 and 33. So they feared Yahweh, they made unto them the lowest of them, priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them, and the houses of the high places. They feared Yahweh, and they served their own gods, after the manner of the nations, whom they carried away from there. As a penalty for the sins of our forefathers, the God of Israel took away the celebration of the Sabbath, the new moon, and the annual holidays. Hosea chapter 2, verse 2. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Hosea 2:5, For their mother has played the harlot. She that conceived them has done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Hosea 2:11, I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. We need to confess, and this is a favorite of, hey, how you doing? This is a favorite of Bill Pathless. Jeremiah 16, verse 19. O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto you from the ends of the earth and say, Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. We need to confess that Yeshua is Messiah. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you will confess with your mouth Yahweh Yeshua, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whoever will confess that Yeshua is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it is written, Wherefore God has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. We need to confess Yeshua shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 28, it is written, And as they were eating, Yeshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them, saying, Drink all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "And from Yeshua HaMashiach, who is the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it is written, "It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." Today is the day of repentance. In the Talmud and Sabbath 153a, Rabbi Eliezer encourages us to spend each day in repentance. Rabbi Eliezer said, "Repent one day before your death." So his disciples asked him, "Well, how do we know on what day we will die if we are to repent one day before our death?" The answer that he gave is, you should spend each day in repentance. "Then all the more reason that he repent today," he replied, "lest he die tomorrow, and thus his whole life is spent in repentance." In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation." In Mishneh Torah, Hilchot Teshuvah 1:3 and 2:1, Maimonides explains that if one has been wicked for his entire life but repents at the end of his life, he is forgiven. You know, it's interesting that this is stated here. And I have heard it stated to Jews, religious Jews, that if someone at the end of his life has been wicked his whole life, and right as he's about to die, repents of his sins and accepts Yeshua as Messiah, they say, well, that's preposterous. But the principle that even if you're wicked, but you repent at the end of your life, God still receives you while you still have breath, is what's taught by the rabbis. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 12, "The wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness." So we see the thief who hung on the tree with Yeshua, he was forgiven of his sin. Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If you are the Messiah, save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Don't you fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing. And he said to Yeshua Yahweh, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Yeshua said, Verily, I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise." What is complete repentance? In Mishneh Torah, Chelot Teshuvah 2:1, Maimonides explains that somebody who does complete repentance is someone who has sinned and is faced with the same opportunity to repeat his sins. He refrains from doing so because he wishes to repent from that sin. And that principle, I heard your husband say, he says, "I believe that, you know, God won't move us forward. He'll take us around the mountain until we correct the problem of why we're being going around the mountain. Then he'll move us forward." Who has reached complete repentance? This is from Mishneh Torah, chapter 2. And the part on repentance. "A person who confronts the same situation in which he sinned, when he has the potential to commit that sin again, nevertheless abstains and does not commit it because of his repentance alone and not because of fear or lack of strength." How should a sinner repent? In Mishneh Torah, Hilchot Teshuvah 2:2, Maimonides explains that a sinner should abandon his sinfulness, drive it from his thoughts, and conclude in his heart that he will never do it again. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Next. Our sins are forgiven through the righteousness of Yeshua. Through the righteousness of Yeshua the Messiah and his shed blood on the tree, our sins can be forgiven and we can be righteous in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Yeshua. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it is written, for he has made him, that is Yeshua, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yom Kippur is forgiving sin between man and Yahweh. In Mishnah Torah, Hilchot Teshuvah 2:9, Maimonides explains that Teshuvah in Yom Kippur only atones for sins between man and the God of Israel, but sins between one man and another are not forgiven until one gives the other his due and appeases him. In the Talmud, Yoma 85b, it states this principle. Teshuvah and Yom Kippur only atone sins for between man and God. For example, a person who ate a forbidden food or engaged in forbidden sexual relations and the like. However, sins between man and man, for example, someone who injures a colleague, curses a colleague, steals from him, or the like, will never be forgiven until he gives his colleague what he owes him and appeases him. Yeshua taught that we should be reconciled with our brother before we approach the altar of God for forgiveness. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has ought against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Yeshua continues teaching about forgiveness. For if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Peter came to Yeshua and said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times? Yeshua said, I say not 7 times, but 70 times 7. I believe 70 times 7 means complete forgiveness. Whatever it takes to completely forgive. Because 7 is the number of completion. Yeshua taught a parable regarding forgiving others if we want to be forgiven by our Heavenly Father. Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35, it is written, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet beside him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he did, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that he had done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you desired me to do so. Should not you also have compassion on your fellow servant, even if I had compassion or pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Yeshua forgave those who crucified him. Luke 23:33-34. And when they came to the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Yeshua, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. There are three ways in which we choose to repent. We can repent out of love for God, we can repent out of fear of God, and we can repent because of our suffering. Let's look at repentance because of love and fear. In the Talmud, Yoma 86a and B, Rabbi Hama, son of Hanina, said, great is penitence, for it brings healing to the world, as it says, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely. Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. Rabbi Hama, son of Hanina, pointed out a contradiction. It says in Jeremiah 3:22, return backsliding children, meaning you who are formerly backsliding, and it is written, I will heal your backsliding. He answered, there is no difficulty. In the one case, the reverence is where they return out of love. In the other, they return out of fear. Rob Judah pointed out this contradiction. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. For it is written, I am a Lord unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family. This is Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. This is no contradiction. The one verse speaks of a return out of love or fear. The other, when it comes as a result of suffering. Rabbi Yonatan said, great is repentance, because it brings about redemption, as it says, and a redeemer will come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, Isaiah 59, verse 20. Why will a redeemer come to Zion? Because of those that turn from transgression in Jacob. Yom Kippur is known as the day, because Yom Kippur is the most holy day of the biblical year. The entire day is spent fasting, praying, and repenting. It's known as the day. It is the day of afflicting your soul. Leviticus 23, verse 27. On the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation. You will afflict your souls, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. The children of Israel were afflicted with hunger in the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He humbled, or he afflicted you, is what it says in the Hebrew. And he suffered you to hunger. Who are not obligated to fast on Yom Kippur, according to the rabbis? Those suffering from medical condition or a potentially life-threatening illness. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a man does, he will live. In them I am Yahweh. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15, and you shall be exceedingly careful to guard your lives. The purpose of keeping the commandments is to live and to guard your lives. Therefore, it is forbidden to fast on Yom Kippur for those who would suffer an adverse medical condition as a result of fasting. In addition, the rabbis say that those under 9 years of age should not fast on Yom Kippur. A Hebrew idiom for Yom Kippur is face to face. When the high priest went in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, he was in the divine presence of God. The Hebrew word for being in the presence of God is panim, which means face. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, and they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence, the word is panim, the face of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Moses was in the face of the presence of God when he was at Mount Sinai. Exodus 33:11. Yahweh spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Face to face is also the title of the chapter of the book of Yom Kippur in Arthur Waskow's book, Seasons of Our Joy. Yom Kippur is known as the closing of the gates, or Nilah. The final service of Yom Kippur is known as Nilah. The Hebrew word Nilah means closing or locking. According to the Talmud, Nilah alludes to the closing of the temple gates at the end of the day. Nilah refers to the closing of the gates of heaven at nightfall when the day's prayers are over. According to Jewish tradition, the gates of heaven are opened on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah to receive our prayers of repentance for the season. According to Jewish tradition, the moment of atonement is at the end of Yom Kippur at the time of the Nila service. On Rosh Hashanah, we are inscribed in the Book of Life. On Yom Kippur, during the Nila service, we are sealed in the Book of Life. Believers in Yeshua are sealed in the Book of Life by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. At the conclusion of the Nila service for Yom Kippur, a shofar is blown. That shofar is known as the Great Shofar. The shofar is an allusion to the great shofar that is blown to gather the exiles of Israel and announces the coming of the Messiah. This is from the Art Scroll Menorah series of Yom Kippur, page 765. In Isaiah 27, verse 13, it is written, "It will come to pass in that day that the great shofar will be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and will worship Yahweh in the holy mount at Jerusalem." Yeshua returned at his second coming at the sound of the great shofar, Matthew 24, 29-31. It is written, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be taken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angel with a great sound of a shofar, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other." This is the conclusion of our teaching on Yom Kippur and the themes regarding Yom Kippur, as during this season of Teshuvah, we are seeking to prepare our hearts for this season. Because in order to experience the season of your joy, first, your sins must be forgiven, and your heart must be right toward the God of Israel. I pray that we all will, during this season, examine our hearts where we've departed from the God of Israel, where He's been pressing upon our hearts to return to Him, that we would return to Him, seek His face, and so that He could pour out His Spirit and reveal His glory through us, upon us, and that we can be a light to those around us, proclaiming Yeshua as our Messiah. Well, that concludes the Yeshiva teaching for this week. We pray it's been a blessing to you. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.